bringing together the brightest minds to help you build a better business model. Welcome to Cannabis Business Minds, presented by LiveAdvisors.com, only on CannabisRadio.com. Here are your hosts, Simone Samalukarajans and Kristen Yoder. All right, this is Simone and Kristen from Cannabis Business Minds, and this is a special podcast with the topic of leadership, management training, and the importance of it into your business. We just got back from an excellent trade show, NCIA Cannabis Business Summit in Oakland. Next year, for sure, mark your calendars, because for me, this was one of, there's two shows that I love the most. This honestly is my favorite.
MJ BizCon,
also in Vegas. But this one, because it's really, for me, it goes very deep to my heart that it's still focused on, hey, we're in a federally illegal spot. Let's remember that and build our business around that. It evokes entrepreneurship, collaboration, and more than anything, business.
Yes, it's definitely one of the best B2B expos out there.
Yes.
I think a lot of people come from around the country, but definitely the movers and shakers in the California industry. And it's just so fun to actually get everyone together.
Yeah.
To, you know, like, I mean, the energy is palpable. The entrepreneurialism, yeah. And
the after parties are nothing to joke about.
I mean, really, MJ BizCon is undeniably, like, the best, like, parties, yeah. After parties. But it was definitely cool. It was a NorCal vibe, you know? Like, when we went to the Meet Your Grower.
Oh, yeah.
So many strong grower women that are killing it up there. Like, they, you know.
Yeah, there was
they're meant to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But also, what was crazy about, so if everyone's listening, like, why are you guys partying so much? Because if you are running a business, you got to remember, if you're a CEO, if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, take a step back and remember that you really shouldn't be both in the business and running the business. And I think this is probably the hardest thing for a lot of people to recognize, because you got to pay the bills, you got to sell, you got to, you know, really focus on the logistics of it. But a lot of magic is made when you develop relationships.
And the parties are better because when you, especially if you have a booth, you know, inside of the event, you're on your sales pitch business mode. But when you get to the after party, it's like, whew, you know, and everyone is practicing their pitch, you know, to go in there and talk to as many people as possible,
yep.
Or whatever the case is. I think that's a really big difference, too, is everyone's so much cooler when they're, like, chilling out, you know? Plus, that's how you build relationships.
And that's the point, is that sales is building relationships. Sales is not saying to somebody, hey, guess what, Kristen, I have the best product ever. You know what? It's $5,000.
Yeah.
It's no, hey, Kristen, what's up with you? What do you do? And lead into those questions to make sure that she is matching your target market, as I call it, your avatar. And if she's not, be polite and say, okay. And if not, and if she is not, maybe still engage in that conversation.
I mean, exactly. You never know who she knows.
Exactly.
She might know someone perfect for you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the point is, even if you talk to everyone just a little bit, you seriously never know.
No.
Until you have conversation. And I personally don't like striking up conversations with people, you know, what would be the word? In a shallow type of way. Like, I'm an introvert. I'm way more just real, get to the point, mm-hmm. Let's, you know, and it's so tiring as well to have to be on that.
Yeah, it's a healthy balance. I think that you have to wear your networking face, and you have to, you know, wear that uniform for a minute, but it's exhausting. I mean, I'm tired after that week.
I mean, you really have to know, like, what are you there for? Like, it's really hard to go to these events and not have an idea.
Exactly.
It's like when we were consulting, we had so many different, you know, possible clients because it's like
everybody needs help.
Everybody needs help.
So talk to the grow people. Talk to the extraction people.
It's like, oh, talking to these investors and whatever. And it's like, we know who our demographic is. We know who we need to talk to. We already did the research. So it's a lot more relaxed.
Yeah, because we
and
like,
enjoyable mm-hmm. because we have time to go get Starbucks and talk a bit, you know?
And like, then go meet somebody who's
exactly.
hopefully a huge client in yeah. the line at Starbucks because we were off guard. We weren't having that sales mode and we engaged in a conversation and boom.
It's like when we were walking to get food and I was like super hungry and I'm like, Simone, like for the love of God, stop talking to people everywhere we go. And then these guys end up being potential sponsors for our women's event.
Exactly.
Like, I would have been like, dude, let's just go, you know?
I'm like, no.
Exactly.
No, let's chat. Yeah.
Exactly.
But so the topic today, though, isn't really about how to sell and do great things while networking, but the topic is the importance of
employee engagement,
leadership, and management training.
Yes.
And I think the best
to
way
to achieve, yeah, to yes. achieve the employee engagement.
And I just want to talk about it for a second, but the keynote speaker for NCIA Oakland's Cannabis Business Summit was the former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox. And wow, that was an excellent keynote. I think he touched on a lot of political issues. He got a lot of cheers and people applauding for him being a better leader than our current one, in
but
my
like,
opinion.
Everyone
yes.
is.
yeah. But what resonated so hardcore with both of us was how much he was talking about leadership.
Exactly. He was talking about being a good business person, you know, running, having your mission defined. It's literally the same thing we say all the time and the same thing that we're applying to ourselves. And it's just so, like, amazing how we have this, you know, change in direction where we're like, yeah, everyone needs help with the process, but no one's addressing leadership and management skills.
Yep.
And having worked with a lot of companies and having managed a lot of these cannabis companies and having talked to a bunch of people, to everyone that we spoke to about this, it rings so true that how can you have a healthy or a happy company culture
mm-hmm.
if no one knows how to lead a team?
Yeah.
You know, or if you're leading a team and you've got the CEO or the owner continuously messing everything up, you know?
100%.
Because they don't know how to do it.
And it's so funny. So this does not just happen with cannabis companies.
No, it's all.
This is pervasive from really startups to even I saw it in major corporations. And right now, Uber, in fact, the CEO, and it was a fantastic piece on NPR. So for all those that don't know, the CEO of Uber is not formally stepping down forever, but taking a break to do a better leader for Uber 2.0. And one of the main reasons that they were talking about of what happened was rapid growth with, you know, think about it. And I'm experiencing this and we're like making sure for Calogia that we're not doing this. We clearly are making sure with our company is that you have an idea. And let's remember, you've done the business plan and you've thought it out. You've done your process. You have your mission statement. But maybe you haven't done it all the way. And you're like, yes, a new client. Oh, yeah. Okay. And you forget what we talk about in operations, the four pillars process. You forgot about that, right? And you forgot about HR process. And then nobody gets it.
Well, and you grew so quickly
yep.
that you never even had time to focus on getting those things in place.
Mm-hmm.
Or you were so profit driven
mm-hmm.
that it's like money before everything.
Yeah, because you needed to feed yourself at the very beginning.
And
even,
then
perhaps.
You are reacting
mm-hmm.
instead of
being proactive.
And you're hiring people that you're probably not even vetting correctly, that you don't even know, really. I mean, we've worked with companies that every single person in the company will interview you before they hire you just to make sure you fit with the team, because the team is the company.
Yes, and even before you have that team, though, you should have an idea of what your values are, what your company culture is, so that when you do that hiring, you're making sure, and I like it, thinking about it, you don't want everybody to be exactly the same.
No.
That's not just so we can make sure that people get that, you want a diverse team.
You want complementary,
mm-hmm.
like us,
yeah.
being like practically completely opposite.
Yeah.
Except for our passion.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like we complement each other. You definitely don't want every... That's why you should hire people that are smarter than you.
Always.
Because how stupid to try and maintain control when you could be improving everything, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a huge thing that I want to touch on is you said how important it is to maintain control. And I think that too many people maintain too much control.
No, I didn't. I didn't say how important it is to maintain control. The fact is get a good team and empower them
yes.
to lead their teams and get out of the way.
Exactly.
It's not about maintaining control. It's about creating a good structure, mm-hmm. good procedures and processes, and stepping back because you should be hiring people you trust
yeah.
that are able to do what they're good at. That's
exactly.
why you hired them. And like, get out of the way.
100%. No, I knew you didn't say that. I just wanted to reemphasize.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
No, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
That's so important. I think a lot of leaders, though, and entrepreneurs are you in the business or running the business, struggle with that. Hardcore, they struggle with that.
It's when you're the idea person, more than likely, you are not operational minded. You are not process minded.
Yeah.
How do you know what you don't know? You don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, then you hire people.
Who know that?
Then you hire people for not very much money, or you try to get free help because that's what it's like having a startup.
Yeah.
And you start with like no foundation.
Oh, you're talking about what traditional companies do. Oh, 100%.
Or any company.
Yes.
All startups go through that.
Yeah.
And you're setting yourself up for failure.
You really are. And it's just so funny. It's like, because I'm really like wanting to write this book. I know there's a lot that exists about why startups fail, but I would rather write the Bible of how to succeed in your startup. That's huge. Hiring your friends, hiring your sister. Hey, you know what? Like, maybe I could pay you a little bit of money, but I really can't do too much. And maybe I'll give you some equity. Maybe no. Like, if you have a really good idea, figure out who is the right team. Not solving, reacting to a problem like, oh, shoot, I just heard on a blog or read on a blog that I need to do social media. I'm just going to make social media right now.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, look, we speak from experience. Like, we are both perfectionist overdoers, just continuous improvement
yeah.
to our own detriment sometimes
mm-hmm.
because we really need help. But it's all about capital.
It is.
Like, the key to success is... to start out with capital so that you can put the pieces in place
mm-hmm.
first and then go from there. Hire amazing people that will give you a solid foundation.
Especially because it goes back again to your goals. Like if you're trying to build, once you've done your goals and you've figured all of that
out.
Your mission, your goals, all that, you're going to have a lot more insight of what you really want. So it's going to help you figure out how much capital do you really need to raise? Like,
what financial projections and your business plan are for.
Exactly.
Right?
But we're sideswiping a little bit.
Yeah, and
we're getting to the process, but let's talk about leadership. So we're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll be talking about some benefits of great leaders and how you can apply them into your business. Time for us to do some sponsor business. More Cannabis Business Minds when we return.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Are you disturbed by the prescription medication commercials on television and their endless list of side effects? They go on, and you end up having to take multiple pills to counteract the problems caused by the first pill. It never ends. Have you looked into CBD as a more natural option? At Saturn Ranch, we produce all-natural CBD topicals and THC-infused edibles. Premium lab-tested hemp-derived CBD is the most important ingredient in our products. From topical balms, salt scrubs, bath-soaking salts to tinctures and edibles, you're sure to find something to help. Family-owned and operated, we at Saturn Ranch believe in and use our products daily. Don't put anything on your body that you wouldn't put in your body. SaturnRanch.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Uber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Uber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Uber way.
Great minds think alike because they listen to Cannabis Business Minds. Presented by LiveAdvisors.com, only on CannabisRadio.com. All right, so we're back, and this is Simone and Kristen with Live Advisors, and you're listening to Cannabis Business Minds on Cannabis Radio. So we just took a break, and we were talking about the, you know, what makes a good leader. Kristen, when you think about leadership and management training and doing it right, and maybe you need to start with what's going on wrong, what do you think?
So I would like to start this out with some statistics
Okay. That
will give people a better idea of what employee engagement means
mm-hmm. And
what disengagement means to both the definition and to your bottom line. And this is from a Dale Carnegie study.
Okay. So
$11 billion is lost annually due to employee turnover.
In the U.S., I imagine.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Companies.
That's more than the cannabis industry is valued at. Just to put people in perspective.
That's
true. Like, think about it in, like, what's that mean? So that means that annually companies are losing more money than the cannabis industry is currently valued at. Whoa.
Yeah. It's always good to put things into perspective,
wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So to the opposite end, companies with engaged employees outperform those without them 202%. Better than companies with disengaged employees.
I mean, but that makes sense. When
you're happy, when you're productive, mm-hmm. When you know what you're supposed to be doing and you're able to do it, then yeah, of course. Then you have time to improve.
Well, not only that, but I also think that everybody wants to feel value. Like, and I think a lot of times
leaders
don't realize that. It's like everybody is showing up. Why? Are they getting a paycheck? Yeah, if they're if they're disengaged, yeah. But if you have a loyal employee that has skin in the game, like, they're going to help you for quite a long time until they don't see why they shouldn't anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's so important, is to get the employee buy-in, and that's why you need to have clear, defined mission
mm-hmm. So
that every single person that gets hired sees where they fit
in
the overall company, you know? And all you have to do, I'm one of those people, I just want you to appreciate my work. Like, tell me I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I just want to know. I think most people are the same way.
Well, I think, and that's what a leader needs to figure out, is like who's on his or her team and what motivates them.
Exactly.
Right? Because everybody is a little different. I'm the same. Like, if I have great recognition for what I've done, that's much more important to me than a paycheck.
Yeah.
Clearly, I need to feed myself and go on vacation, but it's much more gratifying to know that I've helped something massive than just taking home a paycheck.
Exactly. It's becoming a part of something
mm-hmm. Bigger
than yourself.
Why do you think companies don't even do that? Like,
because
what happens
to them? Don't start with that in mind. I don't think that until you have 10, 15 employees, you're thinking about the culture of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Though it should align with your mission and mm-hmm. Your values, I don't think, it's like most companies that are small, they don't have an HR person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their employee well-being and employee training and enrichment, those are things like really exceptional companies do. And it's mm-hmm. Sad that all companies don't do that. The best.
Clearly Uber didn't.
I mean, Uber was, and tech in general is mm-hmm. A very like misogynistic industry
mm-hmm. And
it's much smaller amount of women in mm-hmm. Tech, you know? So that was on them. Like, they kept ignoring it, and
yeah, you
hell
have to be,
hath no fury like a woman scorned.
And so a leader, just to reiterate, then needs to be aware. That's a huge characteristic, right?
Yeah,
aware of people, aware of outside factors that are affecting the business and could affect their business.
It's called active listening.
Mm-hmm.
Ask people. Just ask. Be like, hey, come on in. You know, how have you been? Is there anything blocking your progress? Is there any great things you have to talk about? Is there anything I can help you with? Like, where... I've had managers where they're like, well, where do you want to be in a year? Mm-hmm. Where do you want to end up? Like, what are your goals? Mm-hmm. And it's like, how nice that you actually think of that. Because now that you know, if you can offer someone ways to move towards the department they want to be in, or to offer challenges to them, to make them feel like you care and to help them get somewhere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be financial. Even though paying people well enough to have quality of life is huge.
Yeah.
You know? But it should also be actively checking in with people.
Yeah.
You know? How are you doing? How can we help?
And having structure when you get so big.
Oh, structure is everything. But to me, there's people, mm-hmm. and there's process, mm-hmm. and structure is process.
Yep.
But culture should be part of the process. Netflix has an insanely awesome pitch deck where they really lay it out, like who they want, who you should be. And if it's like Amazon,
yep.
they will pay their
Which
employees.
Which they are about to buy Whole Foods.
I know,
that?
I saw.
Interesting.
So Amazon will offer their employees, whoever has worked there for a year, $5,000 to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Because their reasoning is like, if that's all it takes for you to quit, good riddance. Like, we don't need people like you working here. We need people that want to work here.
Yeah.
So we would gladly pay for you to stop mm-hmm. dragging down our company.
In Good to Great by Jim Collins, and that's the whole thing, get the right people on the right bus. Get the right people on the bus and then figure out where the bus is going.
Yes.
Right? Even Gustavo, our producer, was telling us at the very beginning, it's like, you want to make sure if you're pitching an idea that you have the right team, and right team meaning a balance of skills and personality.
And a shared vision
yeah.
of success mm-hmm. and where they want to go.
And like, so just like talk a little bit more about like disengaged employees. There's a lot of statistics. Do you have any more about like what else? Like,
so I read this and
yeah.
it totally rings true. 80% of employees are dissatisfied with their direct manager.
Why do you think that is?
Well, A, and this is why we want to do management and leadership training, is just because you're a manager doesn't mean you've been equipped with the tools and the understanding and the skills that it takes to be a good manager and a good leader.
Yeah.
If you come into a company that doesn't even have an established culture or have an owner that cares about employee culture, you're fighting an uphill battle, you know? And then most people get promoted based on tenure. And that's even harder because now you need to manage your peers.
Yeah.
So you really have to work hard. And I personally, when I was managing operations at the edible company, I took online management classes and learned so much
mm-hmm.
that it's like, I would have been lost without these things. And
yeah.
management theory, methodology, that's old school because it's business.
Exactly.
You know, cannabis or not.
I also think in certain organizations, depending on how many levels there are, another issue with those why employees might not like their managers is because the managers don't know what they're supposed to do. Because the CEO mm-hmm. and the business owner doesn't know how to communicate well. Maybe the roles and responsibilities aren't defined super well for those managers.
Exactly.
They go into a meeting not even having a freaking action item. And then they might not even like the CEO. So then they're not telling the right objectives or whatever to their team. And that's not getting communicated. So like, when you think it's the trickle-down effect, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about organizational health, that's not something that you can solve in a day.
Like, I have one more statistic.
Yes.
70% of employees lack confidence in senior leadership in their companies.
Whoa.
Yeah. Think of it this way. Employees rarely are totally honest with their managers,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
then there's the C-suite / executives that are basically like the suits. Employees don't even communicate with the suits and vice versa because they talk to the managers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So employees don't even, like, they don't even trust these people, first of all, you know? And no one ever works on bridging the gap. But in the end, your employees know what's going on in your company better than anybody because they're on the front lines.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people have this idea of like, oh, well, everybody's replaceable. Yeah, they are. But the costs related to that and the disharmony that could be affected in that company and like...
The information you lose.
Yes, like...
With every single person. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that happen where the person who's been there forever, I mean, they're really not replaceable because they did everything, especially when you start with a company.
Exactly.
And you had to wear a bunch of hats.
And you just know where everything is.
And you don't have time ever to get it out and put it down because you're growing so quickly. You're continuing hiring people. You mm-hmm. don't even have the processes. So how are you supposed to train these people?
And then you don't have time to make the processes
or
because you're putting out fires all the time.
If they're efficient in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's so important to really start, besides the mission and values, what kind of culture do you want?
Exactly, because every company has such a different culture. Like, when I was interviewing for my first job at PwC, like, basically all the big four accounting firms are the same. Mm-hmm. They have different company culture. That is literally the deciding factor. Your salary is probably going to be the same. You're going to have the same opportunities. Maybe if you're really interested, you could have different clients based off of one of the companies. But you know that if you're recruited, and I was for all four of them, your decision as the person that would accept the job offer, if you get all four, is who do you fit with?
Mm-hmm.
And so they make a very good time at it at the very beginning, but it's so true. It's like, what do you want your company culture to be, really? Like, do you want it to be a fun, relaxed place? Do you want it to be high stress? Like, and I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong. I'm saying I know exactly where I would go.
Yeah.
Maybe people like another one of those company cultures and you'd get a certain breed.
Yeah, some people thrive mm-hmm. on, like, Wall Street people. Mm-hmm. I mean, God knows you burn out really quickly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some people just like that, you know?
Or maybe they don't even know that they don't like it.
Yeah, dude, you don't know until you're like...
Until you...
So freaking tired, which yeah. goes back to our whole conversation about sleep.
Yeah, cannabis, try it for
CBD,
sleep.
CBD.
Yes.
God, I wish we had the other statistics that we're talking about.
We actually have a lot of the statistics on our website as well.
Yeah, that's true. So go to our website, liveadvisors.com.
And check out those statistics.
Yeah, because they're insane. Some of them are crazy.
Yeah.
It's like...
But let's talk about our programs, because I'm excited.
Yeah, okay.
Because
that's
we
true.
Have got...
Wait,
yes.
Should we take a break real quick?
Yes, let's take a break.
Yes, okay. So we'll be right back.
Time for us to do some sponsor business. More Cannabis Business Minds when we return.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
The National Cannabis Industry Association presents the 4th Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo, June 12th to the 14th at the Oakland Marriott City Center in Oakland, California. Register now at CannabisBusinessSummit.com. Meet industry leaders over 3 days of informative sessions and visit hundreds of vendors along the more than 80,000 square feet of sold-out expo floor. Hear from over 100 thought leaders headlined by feature keynote speaker, former President of Mexico, Vicente Fox. Join us at the epicenter of the cannabis movement, sponsored by the industry's only National Trade Association, the 4th Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo, June 12th through the 14th. Register now at CannabisBusinessSummit.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Himping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Great minds think alike because they listen to Cannabis Business Minds. Presented by LiveAdvisors.com, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Okay, so we are back and we have something awesome in the works and we want to share it with everybody.
Yeah, totally. And so this is so funny. We like actually, Chris and I realized at the NCI Oakland that we actually have a pitch. We're like, wow, we need to build our pitch. And then we're just talking to somebody and we're like, wow, we actually have a pretty good one. And so if you guys haven't listened, you should definitely go back into the archives and check out the Operational Assessment podcast where Chris and I go and talk about how do you have a successful operation. Mm-hmm. We clearly both know from our experience what makes up operations. And we believe that there's four pillars: people, process, strategy, and technology. That is still 100% our vision, or not our vision, but our view. But what we've realized is that of the four, it's crazy for us to be like masters of all four. We've killed process. We have, you know, SOPs people can download. We've done business plans that can help with strategy. We advise to help strategy. But what's fun really is people.
Well, and that's, we were talking to an employment lawyer about it, what we were doing. And he's like, that is so, well, everybody actually mm-hmm, was mm-hmm. like, it is so needed. It is so needed everywhere because cannabis companies are focused on compliance and licensing. And they should be. Mm-hmm. They really should be. But a company is people. So, and in California, my goodness, if mm-hmm. you piss off an employee, like you are really taking a risk. Yes. And that's another thing. We've talked to insurance companies that are like, hey, we would give companies a discount if they took your training.
Yes. So, okay, we've got three different trainings that are programs that are customizable based off of what you are in the cannabis industry. Because we've now worked with CEOs, business owners. We've worked with investors. There's no program for investors. We've worked with growing companies and established companies as well. So the one that really doesn't really relate too much to the team building, I'll just talk about quickly, is an 8-week coaching program. And I'm super pumped for this. So right now you can only take it on a workshop. We are going to offer an online course with it soon. So you can take it at your own pace. But basically it's an 8-week program of how to be successful in a cannabis operation. So it's much more focused on process with 1 week of people. So we talk about, you know, the importance of goals, doing your mission statement, inventory management, packaging requirements, security requirements, yeah. How to build out your financials and make sense of them, 280E, all that. So that's one of them, but that's not so, it's fun, but these two are much more fun. And so the other one that we're doing that's much more focused towards established companies that either have, you know, a startup team that wants to integrate this company culture, or companies with managers that have employees, is this one. You want to tell them?
So the way we were pitching it is all these companies, if you're putting out fires mm-hmm. continuously, then you might have a management problem. No, I'm kidding. But I'm not kidding because...
Sorry, I'm not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. This is so true. You know, it's... It comes from the top. Like, you need to realize this. Like, if you're the business owner, it comes from the top because you're not giving the people lower than you the right tools to move forward.
Okay, so what will be the checklist for somebody to be like, no or yes?
And
in sense, like, do I need this? Like, so putting out fires.
Do you have an employee orientation when they come in that explains all about your company, your mission, your goals,
do you have a
your
mission
values?
Is one of them then.
Yeah, definitely. But I think if you created this, if this is something you gave every single employee that came in, besides an employee handbook,
mm-hmm.
then, hey, you're like so much farther ahead than most companies.
But I almost mean like, what would they be experiencing? Like if they're like,
my point is, if you don't have that and you don't have any sort of employee training or any sort of management training, or you're not investing in continuously educating the people in your company, then yes, you should definitely do this. You have nothing to lose by empowering your managers with the tools they need to successfully run their teams, even if it's not your strong suit.
Well, because what you would experience having clarity in this is that you don't put out fires all the time, right? That you're being proactive and you're not being reactive, and that everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing and why they're supposed to be doing it. And then that's going to lead to much more productive people.
Well, and it's also...
and happy people, honestly.
If the managers are given the power to do what they need to do, then... really, seriously, like, let them do what they need to do, because oftentimes the CEO slash owner is the bottleneck.
Yeah.
Where it's like everyone has to go to him or her to figure things out, except they're not there. They have a ton of things going on.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not good at leading people or teams or delegating or management, then a lot of things just go into a black hole.
Yeah, and a black hole, that is a costly black hole.
Massively.
It's loss of revenue. It's poor customer service. It's wasted expenses. It could be employee theft.
Exactly.
Like, that's the one thing, actually, that I want to touch on. I don't know if we did it in our other podcasts, but, you know, a disengaged employee. So there's something called the fraud triangle of, like, if you have too much access to certain things, more than likely you will be committing fraud. I mean, it's just proven. I've done tons of fraud investigations, and it's, you know, is there an incentive? Is there an opportunity?
You mean,
and can you
like
justify
to hide
it?
Your money offshore or something like
that? No, I mean,
that.
I'm an employee and I'm working at a dispensary.
Oh,
and you pissed
yes.
me off, business owner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you know what? You didn't, of the strategy, you don't really have good process in place, and I'm so I don't even have to break or collude with anybody because you didn't even have that process in place, right? And so I can justify stealing from the till. I can justify, you know,
yeah, being like
doing
F you.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, oh, you can replace me? Cool.
Then
like,
I'm going to replace
me,
your bank
yeah,
account
let me
with
take
nothing.
A little bit of a benefits package before
right?
I go. And why would they, what's to stop them?
Exactly. And so the cost of these people not going through the proper channels of getting into that corporate culture, feeling like, A, you doing that background first to make sure that somebody didn't do that already,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've got other controls surrounding that. But once they're involved and you've done the good recruiting and all that, there's a lot that just relates to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Process and the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say that anybody could truly benefit from it. And so that program that we're doing, it's like a two-day program, right? So we've got one that's what Kristen was talking about, all those soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
Leading a meeting, delegating, talking to employees, communication.
Active listening.
And fun
incentivizing.
Stuff. And fun stuff, too. Like, it's a fun training. Like, it's like...
I think there was a statistic that's on our website that was talking about... like 85% of people, their biggest thing that they want is work-life balance. You know?
If, yeah.
And everybody wants to feel like you care, you know? If you are actually giving your managers this type of thing, this type of training, they see that you're investing in them.
Yeah. Well, I think about it this. We had this conversation like a few weeks ago. Why does somebody leave a company to start their own stuff?
Because they can do it better.
They can do it better, right?
Mm-hmm. Or they think they can
they
do it
think
better.
They can do it better. And so there's this vicious cycle, I think, right now that we're seeing. And I don't know if this has always existed or if it's just we're at the right time, you know, being in startup world and it's over the last few decades. But you are good at something and you hated your manager. You hated being an employee. You hated the structure.
Not
whatever.
Only that, you have all their information.
Right.
So it's like, hey, I'm going to do what they do with their, like, vendors. Who cares? I know their customers.
Yeah. And so you decide, but you left because more the root cause of you leaving wasn't necessarily because you had a vision to create something new or an mission and something wanting to inspire people. No, you were like...
It was spite.
It was spite, right? And so when you think about that... and then all of a sudden, maybe now you do have a vision. So you left there, then you have a vision, and you're trying to do something great, or you're an entrepreneur. Well, you got to really look at that connection between leaving something and starting something new. And really, truly, and I think that when we had Terry, he even mentioned this, is like a true leader knows they're not the best. And a true leader should not be the best. The true leader should strive to be the best and strive to make everybody that they work with the best.
And that, you know, that saying, lead by example.
Yes.
Lead by example. You, in the end, are who people look up to.
Exactly.
You are the example. You're the face name, you know, you are the company.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect if you're not running it correctly, or you're not nice to people, or you don't care? And let me tell you,
it's the tone at the top, girl.
When people decide that they don't want, that it's not working out,
mm-hmm.
generally it's because they're like burnt out, or they get to the point where they're so stressed, they're sick, like they're sickened just thinking about going in there.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of damage those people who have not quit yet, that have decided they're going to quit, poisoning everybody else around them because they're not that happy either, that's contagious. I've seen it wipe out departments, you know? And here's another thing.
If you invest
in their training, then you better stick to it, because there is nothing more disheartening than making your employees think that you care and that you're willing to change, and then you don't.
Yeah. So well, they don't trust you. It's the boy that cried wolf.
You have to be dedicated to change. It's not just something you can wave a wand at.
And why the hell wouldn't you want to be dedicated to change? If you're starting a business and if you're leading a team, you should have some goals. You should be excited. You should look at everything not as a challenge, as an opportunity to become better.
But that's, I mean,
maybe this is leadership.
That's common sense. But common sense ain't so common, right? So it's like... Yeah, no, like, duh, you know, we should all be healthy and, like, work out and eat healthy and get a bunch of sleep, but that doesn't mean that's what people are going to do.
Because I think, so then the question is, why don't people do that? Like, if you just keep dissecting and use the why principle, why don't people do that? Because they think it's hard.
Or because they don't know that that's the problem.
So lack of knowledge.
Or the solution.
Lack of knowledge. They think it's too hard.
They don't have the experience or tools to draw from in the first place to know that it's lacking.
No, but like, for example, if someone's like, oh, I know how to work out, like, I know I should be working out, why am I not working out? Why? You know, like, if someone's like, I know I should be a good leader, well, why aren't you? Is it because they don't have the necessary tools?
Maybe it's because they fall back into bad habits.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of CEOs and business owners that have really, like, quick tempers.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And well, anger management is a huge thing to be able to realize, like, if somebody does something wrong, it's not their fault. Like,
don't react immediately.
No,
always,
never.
Always wait.
Put yourself in somebody's shoes. That's what I do all the time. Like,
that's what they talk about in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Before you react,
think about it.
Think about what they're going through.
Exactly.
Where are they coming from?
Nobody does anything well unless they're maybe a Russian spy or something. Like,
or they're just an asshole or they're angry.
Yeah, but the majority of people are really trying their best. And if they're motivated and if they're encouraged well and there's a program in place, both, I think, people and process, then, and you've got the right leadership team, and it's not just one person, it's a team with mm-hmm. the CEO being a driving force and visionary, but the leadership is not, yes, there's one leader, but I believe that you develop leadership teams to really drive a force for a whole company.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
so we said there were 3 things. We just talked about 2 things.
No, we talked about, well, okay, fine, you're right. So one day is the people skill. That's one program. And then the second program is people and process. So mm-hmm. Kristen's and mine, like, you know, how to do all the things that we were just talking about. And then if you ever want to do,
it's
like...
It's more comprehensive.
More, yeah, the second one is much more comprehensive.
But it's different than the 8-week.
Oh, yes. 8-week is for basically if you are wanting to operate a successful cannabis business, meaning you touch the cannabis plant and...
Meaning you already have one.
Or if you want to be capitalized, because it goes through principles, but I think it would be better applied for somebody operating, because I believe, I mean, don't you think, like, theory is theory, but if you can say, oh yeah, and actually apply the homework that we're giving to people in their business, they're going to see much more success.
Everyone needs a mentor.
Yes,
and
an advisor.
We never know, we can never know everything.
Yeah.
So remember that and learn.
Yeah. Any key takeaways before we wrap up this one?
Just that I was not in the least surprised by the reaction we got when we were telling everyone from every sector about our idea, you know, about our curriculum and how we envision what we're doing. And everyone loved it.
That's so true.
And how sad that it's just now becoming a thought that we need to focus on people. Like, that's, but better late than
never. Yeah, but actually, before we wrap up, one other thing is that what I've actually seen in my boyfriend's company is that it's interesting to see from startup to success, and now them integrating, like, more corporate processes and seeing how the innovation and that startup culture, because they're all are very artistic, you know, software, design, and experience, and all that stuff, how you have to balance that very, very finely, right? Because I think, and these programs, maybe a program later on, we can talk about this or if it would be customized, but that's unique. Where, when you actually are having the things going well and you have the process, how do you not stifle innovation? Apple is struggling, actually. I mean, they continue to, what, release the same phone.
Yeah, except holding back just one little feature.
Just one little feature, right? But I think, honestly, and I hope I don't piss anybody off, and I'd love actually to hear somebody challenge me, because I probably am wrong, but this is just my opinion. I wonder what it would be right now with Steve Jobs, right? And so, like, you always have to, because, you know, I have several friends that have worked pretty high up in Apple, and it seems that innovation, and I've even read articles about it, that the innovation has been stifled a little bit. So remember, like,
you know, I gotta say, though, that's a really good point, but to be devil's advocate, yeah, innovation has hit, like, it's peaked.
No.
You know? Yes. Like,
no.
Technology, VR, all of these things, they're just improvements on things we've already created. But we are not, I mean, if you think of every 50 years, what it was like in 1900 to 1950.
Okay, I think
so
maybe,
then if
yeah.
you went from 1950 to 2000,
mm-hmm.
but then you go from like 2000 to 2050, it's not nearly like leaps and bounds where now we have cars and now we have, it's like, dude, we have cell phones, like phones that are cameras that are assistants. Yeah. I mean, and maybe I sound totally crazy, like, oh, what else could they do?
Oh, but that's what I think everybody thinks. But yes, but I don't, I guess what I meant is that.
I'm getting off track.
What? No, you're not. Innovation, to me, is that we can be innovative. We're innovating right now, new programs. So innovation is realizing that you can't stay static for a long time.
Well, I think innovation is the continuous improvement.
Yes, of your product, implementing
whatever.
Maybe a new product at some point, right? And seeing how you can always be better than your competitors. And who, always another question to ask is, what will we do? Like, if we were fired and they replaced the best person, what would they have done differently, right? I don't know. Interesting. Final thought. But
yeah,
I'm curious.
We could go on for days.
We definitely could. I'm curious.
We
definitely do. We record these conversations without the podcast.
Yeah.
But if you guys are listening, please, a call to action is go to our Facebook group, Cannabis Business Minds on Facebook. And question of the day, and I'll put this when we release it, is what type of things do you do in your company, if you own it or if you're an employee, that inspire leadership, that inspire team building? Like, what's been working for you? We'd love to hear it.
Or what do you think the problem is? Or do you think that this is something that would benefit your company?
Oh, I would love to hear that. Yes.
You know, and what specifically would you want covered in this?
Yeah.
You know?
100%. And you can shoot us an email too, because that's, I'd love that, like, personal direct, like, hey, I really thought that you guys could do that. So you can always shoot us an email and find it on our website.
Yes. So it's been another great conversation.
A great pleasure.
Yes. Oh, we have an event.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So one plug before we leave, we're like the never ending ladies. July 22nd, mark your calendars. It's in Los Angeles. It's a full day women's empowerment summit. And so Chris and I are curating the content, and we are having, there's still tickets, but we're having 250 women there, and we're having a lot of group leaders that will be leading these pods. And the whole curriculum is designed to, and we're having Oh, I don't think we've released her yet. So we're having a special guest there that we're also, that's also a podcast interviewee. In the next few episodes, we'll release it. But the whole goal of this is to leave, you know, women feeling empowered about negotiation skills, about being assertive.
Yeah.
And hearing from women who have done incredible things in terms of like those aspects, like negotiation skills from top leaders in negotiation, right? We're interviewing, and we've got them on a panel, several women who have killed it.
Yeah, each woman has their own unique experiences that they've gone through, and we've made it more cannabis women specific because it's not the same as other industries, and it's good to be able to get together with your peers and to all vibe on the same thing because we're all dealing with pretty much the same situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's cool when Simone says pods is we're only going to do like 20 minutes, 30 minutes of our speakers. And then all of our speakers are also leaders of the pods.
Mm-hmm.
So we will take what you learn from the speakers and think of a circumstance or situation that you can apply it to. And the point of doing this in a group is it's so much easier to solve other people's problems.
Yes.
And it's so much better to be able to not only solve other people's problems, but to be able to maintain contact and relationships with these people that you've grown with. So we're super excited. And if you're going to be in LA or you're looking for a reason to come to Los Angeles and you're a woman, so just to put it out there, this is a female only.
Yes.
Because it's a women's empowerment event.
Yes. And tickets right now are really cheap. They're $49 and they go up significantly starting July. And so you can go to our website, livadvisors.com/events, and you'll also see it on the home, like on the homepage, you can see this, so you can subscribe. But I would say if you're interested and can go and you're a woman and meet the criteria, get tickets now because they're going quickly and they're pretty cheap right now.
Yes, so we hope to see you then. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for listening to Cannabis Business Minds.
Business Minds is recorded by Kristen Yoder and Simone Simaluka Radzins. Produced and edited by Gustavo Volgach at East Venice Recording Studios. Podcast music is by Ketsa. You can find more episodes of the show on our website, liv-consulting.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.